This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the True Crime Squad. This is Katie Weaver. I'm here with my sister, co-host, and partner in crime, Christy Brower. Hello.
Hello. Hey, everybody.
How's it going?
Well, you know how sometimes we say we've really been down a rabbit hole today? That's not true of me today. What I have been down is a hell hole.
Yes, you have. You have really taken one for the team today.
I have. You're all going to find out that I watched something today so that you don't have to. Because you don't want to. Trust me.
This is true. This is certainly true. I hear this. Yeah. Okay. Well, I can't wait to hear all about it. I did nip in a little bit here and there to what you were doing, but not anywhere to the degree you did.
God. Kind of self-abuse was this? I spent the day watching the final day of the sentencing hearing for Darrell Brooks, the Waukesha mass murderer.
The ultimate in belligerent turd circuses.
Oh my God. That judge needs some kind of like presidential medal.
Well, I mean, although, even Brooks told her that she's a superhero.
He did. But she got hers today, I think. She had her opportunity finally.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get there.
But yes.
Holy shit, you guys.
It's been a day. It has been a day. For sure.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Well, I have been just working really hard on stuff to be ready for the craft fair we're doing this weekend. I feel like I start lots of projects and then dash off to something else. And so finally today I'm like, listen up, lady, you got to finish it. You can't keep doing this because these things have to be done by Saturday. So I finished things. So that's pretty cool. I finished the tiles. I finished the earrings. I finished all of the snow globes. I finished the magnets, I finished the business cards, and I finished the big signs. So I feel like I'm finally like accomplishing something that's meaningful. So it feels good. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we selling dragons this year? Yeah. We have it. That's not my jam. That's Scott's job. But yeah. I didn't bring any show and tell. Can you believe that?
I should have too. I have myself been making all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Just while watching. I don't even quite yet have words for what I have observed today.
It's been like a true crime and craft day. And really, I mean, that could be a channel all of its own.
It could.
True crime and craft day. Yeah.
Just sitting, watching. It's pretty much my life already.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Yeah.
So sorry, I'm drinking tea. I just slurped down some dinner. I just barely took a shower. Like, this was supposed to last for 2 hours, okay? And it went for 6, so.
Yeah. Mm. Basically, your life has been ruined. Yes.
Cranky was watching as well while crocheting. Good job. I was beating. Way to go, Cranky. See, we have to do something positive to counteract the bullshit saw today.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Well, let's start off with the big news of the day, really, in a lot of ways, with Lori Vallow.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Guys, Lori Vallow is competent to stand trial. So, I mean, I gotta say, I did not see that coming. I honestly really thought she was going back to the hospital. I really didn't. Mm-hmm. So, interestingly, now So, of course, the judge still has to rule on Pryor's request for severance, which there's no way in hell he's going to get that. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, he had a chance if Lori was going back to the hospital, but she's not. So guess what? They're going to set a new trial date. Mm-hmm. I would hope quite soon. Like, can we get this shit over with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Cranky, you're surprised too. Me too. I figured if we were going down this road again, that this was just major problems. But no, the judge has found her competent. And, you know, that's the thing you have to realize is that they get the reports from the experts, but it is actually up to the judge mm-hmm. whether, you know, he takes everybody's, you know, testimony mm-hmm. and the reports and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's moot now. She's competent. So
yeah.
I would imagine they're going to push to get this trial going as quick as possible. I would imagine mm-hmm. that is what the judge wants.
Yeah.
I would bet that the defense attorneys I would imagine judge and prosecutors are like, let's get this shit over with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're going to say, well, there's been this slowdown. Well, her case is no longer suspended. Okay. Her case is active.
Mm-hmm.
So,
let's go. Yep.
So I wonder if they will sedate her in court. I don't know.
She'll have to have a timeout room like Mr. Brooks.
Or maybe do like Daryl Brooks did until he got called out for it and wear a mask so you can't see
mm-hmm.
her horrendous facial expressions.
This is true.
Yeah.
That would be okay.
So that's maybe. Pretty huge news.
That is huge news.
So we'll see. Hopefully we're going to shortly get a new trial date.
Yeah. Paula said that her brother passed on Monday. She's had a very weird week. And today's his birthday. Paula, we're so sorry.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So much love to you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. My dog is chewing up a bowl behind me. I don't know if you guys can hear all that rustling or not, but that's what's going on. I tried to loop my leg around there to like kind of, you know, I don't know, intervene, but it didn't work. So so anyway, that's how it's going.
Right. Well, so Paula, the experts recommend, mm-hmm. but it is ultimately up to the judge to decide.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Boyce has had enough of this bullshit.
Mm-hmm. It's Luca. It's Bruno. No, it's Luca.
It's Luca. Yeah.
It's Luca. Yeah. Yes. Where am I? What's my name?
I don't know. I'm probably going to swear a lot today. I'm probably going to be louder than usual because
all inhibitions are gone.
Yeah.
Okay. One more thing on that. Janet said, I'd like to know how Chad's defense is going to be dramatically different from Lori's. Well, I think it goes a little like this. Your Honor, it was Lori's fault.
Yes, pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure Lori's defense is going to be, Your Honor, it was Chad and Alex. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Pretty much. I think that's where this is headed.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yes, Janet, it would be grounds for appeal if the judge was just sick of this shit. I mean, he's legitimately got to think that she is competent. But mm-hmm. I can only imagine what goes through that poor man's mind having to listen to all this crap.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, except, you know, that I still think that the judge in the Brooks trial literally needs like a week, a month, a year. A year of vacation in Fiji, a medal, a tiara, I don't know, like everything. Yeah. She's earned it all.
Mm-hmm. Cranky. Sure, it was Lori, even though they were buried in my yard and I was a former gravedigger.
Right?
Yes. So Heather Daybell did do a 3-part interview on Hidden True Crime.
Oh, I have not seen that.
It is very interesting. Very interesting. How much distance they have tried to get from that family long before this happened. Mm-hmm. Her feelings about the Mormon church, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting stuff. I highly recommend you go watch it. Yep. Mm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, a tiara. That judge, she deserves every award you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
She has literally managed to not throttle the living shit out of Daryl Brooks. And I gotta say, but if I'd been in that room, I'm not sure I would have even made it through today, mm-hmm. let alone the entire trial.
Mm-hmm. Well, and on that note, let's talk about it.
Let's do Brooks. Let's do Brooks. So interesting. First thing I noticed was that Brooks was handcuffed at his table.
Yeah.
He's been shackled before, but he wasn't handcuffed when he was representing himself. It was kind of like the victims.
He was handcuffed when they were scheduling the
right. But like when he was like representing himself in front of the jury, he was not handcuffed. Well, he was today. So watching him try to write his little ignorant notes to the judge was hilarious because he could barely hold a pen. And anyway.
So Janet said, you mean shackled?
Yes, I mean shackled. Yeah, remember the shock cuffs?
They were shock cuffs for sure.
Shock cuffs, yeah. They're shackles, but some people know them as shock cuffs. Only Daryl Brooks. That's the only person. So the hearing started out with a request from the prosecutor that one of the victims that gave their victim statement yesterday felt like her statement really wasn't heard because Daryl wouldn't shut up. Mm-hmm. Turns out she's like an 8-year-old girl. I mean, so they let her stand and they bring her a microphone and she talks all about losing her grandma. Daryl Brooks murdered her grandma.
Yeah.
Grandma was one of the dancing grannies and they were dancing in the parade. And apparently dancing was a real big deal to Granny, and she taught the kids to dance, and they spent a lot of time together dancing and listening to music and cooking and stuff. And so this sweet little 8-year-old girl talks all about how she misses her dancing Granny every day. And that asshole Brooks just had an ignorant look on his face the whole time. I mean, people were tearing up at this, right? But Brooks started out on his best behavior because it was Daryl Brooks Day, don't you know? This was the day that his character witnesses, Jesus Christ.
Use that loosely. Yeah.
Very loosely. Were coming to speak on his behalf. Mm-hmm. So he insisted to the judge that there were four, but there were only ever three on the Zoom call. None of them were there in person. They were all on Zoom.
Initially, he said there'd be 20.
Yeah, he did a long time ago. Yeah, 20. He started out with his mother, who went on and on and on and on and on and on and on about the plight of mentally ill people, which is completely legitimate. Yes, those things are real. However, not in Daryl's case. And we'll get to that. But it was a lot of bullshit about, you know, how the system failed him and blah, 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 blah. No, it's not true. But that's what she said, right? So then, yeah.
Only you could turn this into a that's what she said joke.
Only I. Only I. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we hear from Daryl Brooks's very pious and rather uppity grandmother, who is a minister and who admonished him and the victims about how important forgiveness was. I thought that part was really gross. When she started talking to the victims, I was like, bleh. Right. I mean, I get it, Cranky, why they did that. But it was gross and it doesn't really apply to him. And we'll talk about why that is. So, you know, Granny, it was a whole lot of Jesus stuff and it was a whole lot of forgiveness. And she literally admonished all the victims and victims' families that it was their responsibility to forgive Daryl, which I think is utter bullshit. And I don't think anybody has to forgive anything unless they want to. So shut up. Yeah. So that's where they went with it.
I can't. How gross of her. How incredibly gross of her.
It was gross. It was a lot of admonishing Daryl. And she said something like, I'm not the big bad witch everybody makes me out to be, when she introduced herself. So I don't know if, you know, there's.
Was that was grandma or mom?
Grandma. Yeah, that was grandma. So, yeah, lots of Jesus stuff. Lots of Jesus stuff. So then they bring in.
And then Daryl's, more Jesus stuff.
Yeah, they bring in Daryl's best friend. And she's this very sweet disabled woman who has been friends with Daryl for a long time. And she has seizures and she has a lot of medical problems. And Daryl had been a help to her in the past. And I think probably Daryl probably robbed her blind. And she's just a really sweet, trusting person who doesn't necessarily recognize when her best friend is a psychopath.
Probably.
So, you know, she was very sweet, but whatever. Mm-hmm. So we get through all of that and through all of this. And every time the judge has to, you know, is talking to him, it's all very cordial. And he is like proving to us that he, in fact, could be appropriate in court this entire time because he's not disrupting nothing. But, you know, he's got his buddies here speaking on his behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So then they finish with that. And the judge says, okay, I'm going to talk about my assessment of Daryl, his character, his mental health, like all the things that I have to bring to the table in order to sentence him. And she starts talking about the four psychological evaluations that Daryl had on behalf of the court.
Yeah. Four.
Four. And you know what they were diagnosing him with? Antisocial personality disorder. Mm-hmm. You know what isn't really a mental illness? Antisocial personality disorder.
Yeah.
That means Daryl is a psychopath, is what that means. That means Daryl has no conscience. He does not have any emotions except for about himself. Mm-hmm. He has no empathy. Mm-hmm. And it's not like that's a big surprise. I mean,
yeah.
He literally drove through a parade and hit, it turns out now, 69 people. Mm-hmm. They discovered in the victim impact statements that there was a 69th victim who was injured when she was hit, not by his car, but by another victim who was thrown into her that they didn't even know about.
Yep.
So she starts getting into this stuff. And he's still being appropriate. Well, wait. I'm sorry. I have skipped. Before that happened, my brain is addled, you guys. We spent 2 hours with him giving his statement. 2 hours this idiot talked. And it was all about himself. He said he was sorry to the victims one time in 2 hours. And all he should have
And he is still praying for them.
He is still praying for them. Yes, he is praying for them. He went on and he referred to it as the incident or the tragedy. Like, he separated himself as far away from it as he could get. And then he talked about his childhood and all of his challenges and all the shit he's been through and his mental health. And all he wants to do is just get better, Your Honor. I just want to get better. And I want you to know that I have found Jesus. And he went on about the Jesus stuff for a really long time. And it was so trite and self-centered and gross.
So gross. I just want to be sent to a place that will help me get better so that I can prove to my children that it can be done and I can get better.
Yeah.
It was so obtuse, the idea that they're sending you anywhere to get better. They're sending you to prison forever. But even then, it sounded like he just really wasn't quite sure that's what was happening here.
Right. Right. At one point, he said he wanted to make sure that he got credit for that 1 year he's already served, as though that was going to have any impact on him, on this at all. Right. There is no cure for someone like him. There isn't.
No.
The cure is lock him up forever. Prison.
Yeah.
So the 2 hours of just gross, self-indulgent bullshit until the judge finally interrupted him. And I was like, Jesus, are she ever going to stop this? So she finally does. And she asks him, we've gone on for about 2 hours here, you know, and everyone else is like, holy shit. And I need from you, because you got to remember, he's representing himself. So she has recommendations from the prosecutor about about sentencing, right? So she wants him to tell her what he thinks his sentence could be. And he just talks in a million fucking circles forever. Can't do it. Won't do it. Finally, she's like, I really need an answer from you. And again, it was the just talking in circles and I just want to go somewhere and get better, Your Honor. So she finally just gives up because it's like, whatever, I'm not going to get anything from you. So then she starts getting into sort of the recap of the case and her assessment of him. And, you know, talks about these four psych evals and about how all these doctors find the same damn thing. This is not a mental health issue. He was not having a mental health emergency. There's no indication that he was having a psychotic episode or anything like that. He intentionally drove through. I mean, he didn't just drive into a parade. He drove down the parade swerving to hit people. I mean, for a significant, for 2 or 3 minutes. So she goes through all of that. She goes through all of the evidence presented, all of the witnesses, all of the victims, all of the people and what they saw and the stories they told. She teared up over and over again, the stories from families and how this affected them, or seeing their family member killed right in front of them, or injured, or not knowing if their family members were safe, and all these things. You know, and it's just, and he's getting more and more agitated because this isn't about him anymore. You know, and this is where he just, he finally just blows sky high. And she's just not having it today. And she just kicked his ass out and sent him to the other room. So he is sitting in the other room with his handcuffs, writing. Because she told him, if you can write me a pledge that you will come back here and not interrupt me again, a pledge that you will not do it again, you can come back. So he writes all this shit. And several times, one of the bailiffs brings her something. She's like, that's not a pledge. Nope. You know, and she's just, so done with his stupid ass. And he'll like write something on a piece of paper and then stand up and hold it and shake it so that he's getting her attention, you know, or he'll wave his hands like this, trying to get her attention. And he was muted. She had to mute him in the other room because he wouldn't stop his talking. So just, it went on like that for a long time. So she talks about like how he ran, he changed his appearance, he hid, all of the things that he did to evade police, which if you're having a psychotic episode, you don't do any of those things because you don't even realize you've done something bad. He did all kinds of things that indicated that he knew full well that he'd done something wrong. Also, he immediately submitted to the police when they came. Knew immediately what was happening. And so she's talking about that kind of stuff. And she's talking about his ex-girlfriend that he had assaulted earlier in the day. Part of his sentencing was actually the domestic incident that happened with her. And so he's writing all his dumb stuff. And he's got a note up and it says objection. And then you can't see what the rest of it says.
Objection. You don't get to object.
You don't get, this is the judge's part. You don't get to object to what she's saying. Shut up. So she says, okay, I'm about to start the actual sentencing. So I would like to bring him back in here and see if he can, you know, be decent. Oh no, he could not be decent. He was such an asshole. He would not quit. Just arguing and arguing and arguing, just would not stop talking. So she said, if you say one more thing to me, you will be in the other room. You are forfeiting your right to be here while you're sentenced. And you will, he said, I don't consent to the sentencing because somehow he thought he had that right. So ridiculous. So, you know, she says, if you say one more thing, that is you forfeiting your right to be in the room during your sentencing. You'll go to the other room and you'll stay there. And so, of course, he just starts this bullshit arguing again. So he goes back to the other room. She just got him on mute. She's not even looking at him. Like, fuck off, buddy. So she goes through all the charges. Christ, it's like 76 charges. And, so, on court TV, a video where a judge ordered a defendant's mouth to be taped shut because he wouldn't shut up. I think her other room thing worked really well. It was great. So she starts, she goes through all the charges, what he's being convicted of. And then she starts naming each victim. And we're talking, this was, well, what, 76 charges? She named every charge and attached the name of the victim to it. It took like an hour just to do that, which was, it was really impactful because, you know, she said all the names of the people who were killed. She allowed the courtroom to clap when he was convicted of their murders.
And we do have a clip of that. We have a 2-minute clip of that. We'll share at the end of this.
And then she asked them not to clap after the rest of the stuff because it was so many, but she said every single name because he was given life without the possibility of parole for all 6 murders. Mm-hmm. And then he was given 17 and a half years for every count of assault with a deadly weapon, basically, mm-hmm. because that's what the vehicle was.
Yeah.
And it went on and on and on. It went on forever. And then she sentenced him for the girlfriend, for assaulting the girlfriend, two different counts of bail jumping, and a couple of other things. But anyway, yeah. It is somewhere around 1,000 years in prison, mm-hmm. which we all know, you know, he'll be there till yeah. he dies.
Well, I don't know. As stubborn as he is. Well, anyway, no.
Right. It might not be that long, frankly. If he talks in prison the way that he talked to that judge, somebody's going to take him out in the first 10 days he's there.
Maybe bye, less. Bitch. Bye.
Bye, yep. Asshole. And finally, the judge was like, and that's it. And you could just see the look on her face like, I have got to get out of here.
I will now go drink.
She yeah. took a couple of breaks and I thought, she's probably going to her office to like drink and scream into a pillow. So she's such a rock star.
Right.
But the good news is that asshole, you know, and you know he's going to appeal. He's going to try all this ridiculous shit. Mm-hmm. And it's not.
Oh, he tried to claim today that he doesn't understand the charges.
Oh, yes. He was trying to set up an appeal. And that's mm-hmm. when she really started going into all of the mental health evaluation that he has had.
Uh-huh.
And how she has made sure they have dotted their I's and crossed their T's. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any grounds to appeal.
No. None.
He insisted on representing himself. She coached him through the whole damn thing. Mm-hmm. She has been so careful to protect mm-hmm. his rights. And anytime that she put him in the other room, she would cite the case mm-hmm. that is the precedent for doing that. Like, she mm-hmm. was so careful to make sure that, you know, he can try, but that jackass is gone forever.
For sure.
Oh, my God. But it was the longest 6 hours of my life. I cannot imagine having been her and had to preside over that case.
No. Good Lord.
But the short story is he's done.
The short story is bye, bitch, bye.
Yes.
Yep. Well, let's watch the very end of it. Or, yeah. Well, just the not the very end of it, but the
beginning of the
sentencing. Yeah.
Counts 1 through 6. This court is imposing a life sentence without the possibility or eligibility for extended supervision consecutive to one another. One life sentence for Virginia Sorensen. One life sentence for Leanna Owen. One life sentence for Tamara Durand. One life sentence for Jane Kulik. One life sentence for Bill Hospel. And one life sentence for Jackson Sparks. I've considered the enhancer and the additional 5 years that I could impose, but I don't need to really order that because I've not made him eligible for extended supervision, and it would only be to increase his time on initial confinement. But make no mistake, Mr. Brooks, you use that vehicle as a battering ram, no different than, frankly, a firearm. On counts 7 through 67, these are 61 counts of first-degree recklessly endangering safety. These charges alone and these convictions without the enhancer carry a maximum of 12 and a half years. Because of the enhancer, a total of 17 and a half years. And under Wisconsin law, the 5 years is added to the initial term of confinement. So what could be 7.5 years is a maximum of 12 and a half years. And I'd ask that everyone no longer show any reaction to the sentence so I can get through this. On counts 7 through 67, on each count, I will impose a total sentence of 17 and a half years.
Yeah.
Nothing like 1,000 years in prison won't cure, right?
Right. I mean, and she talked about that, you know, that this is a really large sentence and that we realize that, you know, he's not going to live that long. However, it was really important because this had such a huge impact on the people there, the victims, the people who witnessed it, the people who live in that community. Like, the trauma that this has caused is generational, frankly.
Absolutely.
And, you know, she felt like I loved how victim focused she was. Mm-hmm. She made it all about honoring them. She talked a lot about how impressed she was with people when they testified and how genuine and, you know, talked about that they were good people and that they didn't deserve this by any means. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And he has no remorse. He doesn't care.
Oh yeah.
He's the psychopath. He's a psychopath. Mm-hmm. And the only thing we can do is lock him away forever.
Yep.
And he'll either get himself killed in prison. If he takes his own life, I'll be a little surprised because he still thinks pretty highly of himself. But maybe, you know.
It's true, but he would do that as an FU.
He would. To the court. I think that he would. So it is very possible, you know, that something like that he might try. But frankly, he is such an off-putting human being that I find it hard to believe that he'll make it in prison very long, behaving the way that he does. But at least it's over for these families. You know, they don't have to see his stupid face or listen to his jackass voice ever again. And I think that's a blessing for everybody.
They don't have to see his stupid face.
Oh, Paula, this is a really good question because she addressed this. She said, do you think the sentencing would have been less if he had behaved in court? No, I don't. And she talked about that. She said, I am basing this sentence on what happened on November 21st, 2021. This doesn't have anything to do with his behavior in court. She went moment by moment through all of the opportunities that he had to not drive through there. How many times he chose to do it and then continue and continue and continue hitting people. She made it all about that. This isn't about his behavior in court. This is about what he did on that day and how intentional it was. There was no question that he was having a medical event or having a mechanical problem with his vehicle or something. He continued to drive down that parade route and mow those people down for a few minutes.
Yep.
He could have stopped at any moment. And he didn't.
No.
Right. Yeah, Frankie. It was 100% on purpose. Mm-hmm. It was 100% to express his own anger at his girlfriend and the situation he was in because he was more important than those innocent people just attending a Christmas parade.
Yep.
So she put a lot of emphasis on that and on all of the reasons why this was very clearly an intentional act. He freaked out at the prosecutor because yesterday the prosecutor had referred to this as an attack. Mm-hmm. And oh, he took major umbrage with that. Mm-hmm. Major. This was not an attack. I did not do this on purpose. I did not plan this, blah, blah, blah. Well, he very clearly did do this on purpose. Mm-hmm. He had many opportunities to stop or to turn off or something, and he didn't do any of those things.
Nope.
Oh, sick little shithead. God.
Yep.
Oh.
Well, Daryl, have the 800 years you deserve.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. All righty. Well, let's change gears. There's a lot of quick updates, and I want to jump into those fast because we can get to those because we have quite a bit to say about the Wanderers as well as the Moscow stabbings. Mm-hmm. And so we want to get to those. Troy Driver. Troy Driver is the man who murdered Naomi Arion in Nevada. Yes. And he has had a short stay on his case, much to the horror of her family, you know, for a competency eval. And guess what? Guess who else is competent? Troy Driver. So his case marches on. So that is excellent news.
Really good news.
Very good news for Naomi's family and everyone else. So... a quick update on Richard Allen in the Delphi matter. Richard Allen, investigators are now saying that
they did have a statement from him years ago that he was around the area on the day that the girls were murdered. But that was just a piece of info that was just shoved back in a file that hadn't been revisited. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yikes.
So, yikes. Yeah. Kayla Montgomery. So Kayla Montgomery has made a plea deal. She was charged with two counts of perjury because, you know, as we know, she's been lying all along to the courts about what she knows about where little Harmony is at and what happened to her. And we know for sure now that she did roll on Adam. And she's now been sentenced to 1.5 years. It could have been more than 10 for perjury, but 1.5 years in prison in exchange for her testifying against him in the matter of the murder of Harmony. Now, in the past, we'd been hearing that she, you know, was going to testify against him in the weapons thing and stuff like that. Nope, she's testifying. She's their star witness. Testifying against him in Harmony's murder. Mm-hmm. So we know that now. But Kayla, where the hell is Harmony?
Yeah.
Where is Harmony?
Time to give up the body. Give me a break. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But we do know that now. And I feel like that's an important thing to know.
Yeah.
Christy, talk to us about David Bonola and Orisoli.
Oh, yes. Orisoli Yigal. First, let me say thank you, GB, for reminding us that, yes, the Lady of the Dunes has been identified 50 That's years correct. after mm-hmm. her disappearance. Her name is Ruth Marie Terry of Tennessee.
Yep.
So it's nice to see people get their names.
Yes.
And get to be laid to rest.
Absolutely. Yes.
But let's get to David Bonola. So David Bonola is the man who killed Orisoli Yigal and dismembered her body, put it in her son's hockey bag, and just left it on the streets in New York City. He has been sentenced to 25 years, which I honestly think is gross. Super gross. Right? That is not enough. I don't know why this isn't life.
How can this not be life? I know. I really hate this one.
They have not really been able to prove intent, so it's second degree, and that's why it's 25 years. But it is kind of... It is disconcerting. Mm-hmm. Let me show. I forgot. I have a picture for this. This is Bonola and Orisoli Yigal. And they had, he was a handyman. He'd done some work at her house. And she did have a brief affair with him.
Mm-hmm.
Which he then used as an excuse to kill her, which is just horrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, good and boo. I want to slap in the face of her family.
He did plead guilty. So this is why we're getting it.
That's probably part of it. Yep. Well, everyone's favorite sex offender. Do those words go together? Nicholas Alaverdian.
Oh, good Lord.
You know, he's been...
Well, he's not wearing any oxygen in that picture. Imagine. Right.
Look at that. He's been in front of the courts, you know, still trying to prove that he's not Nicholas Alaverdian. You know, last week had claimed that he fell into a coma because of COVID last December in a hospital in Scotland and awoke to a whole bunch of tattoos he'd never seen before.
My God.
This was a part of the big conspiracy to frame him. They covered him in tattoos while he was asleep.
Yes. Yes,
but the judge said, no, bitch. And what the judge determined is this really is Nicholas Alaverdian.
Yeah.
So it's taken, you know, all of this to prove that, yes, indeed, he really is. So here's a statement from David Levitt, the Utah County Attorney. We are grateful for all through the justice system for their roles in investigating, prosecuting, and deciding this case so far. We wait patiently now for the extradition decision. If the defendant is extradited, then Utah County's attorney's office will fully prosecute the case and ask a jury to decide the ultimate question of guilt or innocence. So they're excited. This was not the extradition hearing. This was just the basically to prove that he is who the U.S. says he is.
Yeah. And now the courts have said, indeed, this is exactly who this bitch is. So he is now we are waiting until March of 2023 for them to go to court and decide on extradition.
Yeah.
So we're not there yet, but we're getting there.
Well, but he's really been fighting the identity thing. And now that's going to open a lot of doors.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good thing.
Yep. Yep. Well, let's talk about the murders in Moscow, Idaho.
Yes.
So we did a segment on this earlier this week. Yes, he is being charged with something in the UK, rape in England.
Yeah. And they want food blogger at him.
Mm-hmm. And they'll probably get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's in Scotland. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So moving forward to the murders in Moscow, Idaho. So poor Idaho. Like we're really under it this week.
This has been a
with the Michael Vaughn case. Yep. And this one just hits home to us because my kids, our kids, our college students, it's just scary, you know? And so here's basically what we know so far. Sometime around noon on Sunday, someone called the police and said, there is someone at my house or someone at this house that is unconscious. And EMS went there and discovered that there were four dead bodies that had been stabbed to death. It was a horrific scene, a copious amount of blood oozing out of the walls from these poor people. And initially, the sheriff's office and the mayor were saying there's no threat to the public. And everyone's been asking, how do we know that? Mm-hmm. Well, they finally did a press conference today. It is Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday. There should have been a press conference that day.
Right.
Wednesday. Finally, a press conference. And they're saying they did tell us a few things in the press conference today that we did not know. That is a 6-bedroom home that is near campus that students rent. 5 girls rent that house. 3 of those girls were murdered and one of their boyfriends. The other 2 were home at the time of the attack. We don't know if they were the ones who called 911 because they're not disclosing that. We also don't know who called 911.
Right.
They didn't make it 100% clear that they were the only people home.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know that either.
Right.
People in the press conference were acting like it was somewhat significant that even though they were home, no one called the police until noon. I didn't think that was significant at all. These are college students. They were all out partying the night before. They didn't get out of bed till noon. It's more significant to me that they didn't hear the attacks happening.
Right. How do 4 people get stabbed in the house where you're living and you don't hear it happen? Like, really?
Yeah. They would not confirm what rooms they were in or if they were together or if they were not, all of these folks. So we don't know that either. At one point, the mayor said this was a crime of passion. But when he got pressed on that by the press, turned out he had no reason to say that at all. He doesn't know that.
This mayor reminds me a bit of the mayor in the movie Jaws.
Mm.
Just speaking out his ass so that people don't freak out. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty much. He shouldn't even be talking. Like, he doesn't know anything.
He should shut the hell up, yes.
Yeah.
Because they don't know. And that's one of the things that they pressed really hard on in the press conference today. How can you say you don't have a suspect? Mm-hmm. We don't know why this happened. How can you keep assuring the students that they're safe? And they're like, well, everyone should be diligent. So are you saying people aren't safe? Well, I mean, we think it was a targeted attack. And the press was like, well, why do you think it was a targeted attack? And they're like, well, we just think it was. Well, the students don't feel safe at all. And a lot of them have gone home. And they are running classes online and in person and trying to accommodate that, you know, because a lot of kids don't feel safe and they shouldn't feel safe until they figure out what the hell happened here.
they have no right just telling these kids, blah, you're fine, you're safe, nothing to see here.
Are no one ever gets murdered in this town, but now we have four murders and we don't know who did it, but you guys are fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, what the hell?
They also kept stressing there just does not seem to be any sign of forced entry. Well, no shit, Sherlock. This is a tiny town with a relatively low crime rate and five students that live there. You cannot tell me that it's not commonplace for that house to be left unlocked. You can't.
Right. Well, and this is Idaho, okay, you guys? Mm-hmm. Lots of people don't lock their houses here. They're right. Stupid. I lock my house. But in these little towns, that is not unusual at all for people mm-hmm. to not lock their houses and still leave their keys in their vehicles unlocked. I'm not mm-hmm. kidding you. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to tell any criminals to come here. But that's very commonplace in this state. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. maybe they don't even lock the house at all.
Maybe they don't even have a key to the house. That could be the case too. We don't know. Could be the case.
We've experienced that before.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's significant really. But they don't know much. So the FBI is assisting. The state police is assisting. So they're trying, they're investigating. There's the state crime lab is right now. They've been, processing the crime scene as well as the bodies. And they do believe that it for sure was not a murder-suicide. They do believe that all four of these students were murdered. That's about what came out of the press conference today. I would say the biggest bombshell was that the roommates were home. They also are not calling the roommates witnesses. But here's the thing, and this is my opinion entirely. If this was just one person, they also don't have a weapon. Mm-hmm. They don't have the murder weapon. But if this was one person, okay, there's no way these kids were conscious.
Right. How does one person stab four adults?
Right. And get away with it. Now, the two of the girls were seen at a food truck. They were seen at some bars downtown. They were out together having fun. The other girl and her boyfriend had been seen at a different party on campus. They are still asking for anybody that has any pictures or video from anything they were doing on the student scene that night to please send them over to the police so that they can, try and put together a better timeline of events of where they were. Mm-hmm. But there just is not, there's just not much going on.
Yep.
Yeah. So hopefully they have better answers coming. I wish they had done a press conference sooner. I feel like this has been problematic, honestly, up to this point. But yeah, I hope the roommates are in protective custody too. I mean,
right. I mean, are those kids safe?
Yeah. Yeah. GB said this sounds like Ted Bundy's attack of the sorority house in Florida. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It's something similar. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that Moscow, Idaho has ever dealt with, I'll tell you that.
No. So that's going on all at the same time in Fruitland, Idaho. But to put that in perspective, Moscow is in northern Idaho, mm-hmm. and Fruitland, Idaho is in central Idaho. Yeah. So we're talking about many hours apart.
Several
hours apart, yeah. But at the same time, the whole Michael Vaughn event is going on, event case. They are still searching. They're still searching the Wondrous home. They're saying it could take another week. As of yesterday, they are still digging up parts of the property and they'll be moving on to the home shortly. So no big news there, but we did get a little more information about the Wondrous.
Mm-hmm.
So Stacy, this is the husband. Stacy is in custody. He's actually in federal custody. He's on federal weapons charges. But he's in the Washington County. That's county, Idaho State, Washington County jail, awaiting, his case moving forward. But here's what we kind of knew that, but we didn't know exactly where he was being held or what's, the hell's going on. He hasn't been charged with anything in this case yet, but again, this is very preliminary. They're still searching for the remains. I mean, there's a lot that we don't know yet.
They're going to go talk. I'm sure he's sort of least of their worries right now because he's in custody. Like, we're going to get to him, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Some interesting things about Sarah, though. Sarah also had been arrested and charged with weapons charges in federal court. She had been released. And her release, big list of things that she couldn't do and had to do as a part of her release. But one of them that really stuck out to me was that she was not allowed to be anywhere near her parents.
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first we've heard of her parents.
Right. So we don't know exactly why she got it. It's some kind of an appearance bond on her own recognizance, I guess, of some sort.
Mm.
She's been driving.
Doesn't she own a taxi company with her dad?
With her dad. Yeah. At least that's what she said in court. Yeah. Right.
I mean, we only know really what she said.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I thought that was an interesting piece that she must avoid all contact directly or indirectly with any person who is known to be a victim or witness in the investigation or prosecution, including her parents, regarding any discussion about the offense.
Interesting.
Interesting. Because we don't know exactly what the charges were. We don't know.
And yeah, is it a restraining order or are they also
charged or are they witnesses or are they victims?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
We don't know yet.
And she had been, according to her, driving taxi and making more than $500 a week. So she was apparently allowed to do that.
Seems
but
sketchy. You want that person picking you up in a taxi? I don't think so.
So her lawyer just recently filed a request of the court to dismiss the charges against her because her Second Amendment rights are being violated by not allowing her to have firearms. Okay, the reason she's not allowed to have firearms is because she's a felon. She's been to prison.
Yeah.
So it's kind of laughable. Yeah. But now with all this shit, that's never going to happen. But here's the thing, you guys. She has a jury trial coming up the first part of December on this case.
In that case. That sounds like a lot going such on Idaho bullshit, though, about the guns.
Yeah. Your Honor. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Well, and again, it makes you wonder if this was mostly Stacey's bullshit and she got wrapped up in it, you know?
Right.
But still. You can't, if you're a felon, you can't have guns and you can't live in a house with guns. Like, you can't, no guns, for God's sake, no guns. Right. Anyway, so that's some new pieces of information about Sarah that we didn't know. And, you know, that we hadn't heard yet. And it's interesting. Also, we also know that as of this morning, her entire criminal history has been sealed.
That's very by the court. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strange thing to do.
Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to get people like us to stop talking about her.
Well, guys, we've been stumping for Michael Vaughn since he disappeared, you know?
Yeah.
Also, there was a news article. There was an article in East Idaho News today that said that the police have come out to say that they do believe that there are several people who know what happened to Michael Vaughn.
Yep.
Multiple.
Yep.
No. So this is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I have real questions about who else we're talking about here.
Right.
Adrian?
Who's Adrian? Yep. Well, and also, who else was staying in that house? Who else was potentially living in that house that could have been there during that time or visiting them or staying with them? There's a lot that's unknown yet.
Well, and at one point, she said that Michael's body was buried in the neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
And then another time, she said it was buried by their shed.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is it? And I know they were taking down the fence between the yards.
But they're also saying that when they arrested her, that they came in through the front door and that she was sitting on the couch watching TV. Initially, I had heard with her mom. Now we're wondering if that was actually Stacy's mom. Mm-hmm. But supposedly, hey, Holly, supposedly there was a mom there. If it was her mom, that was a violation of her release. So anyway, a lot's going on. So we'll keep our ear to the ground. There's just a lot we don't know yet.
Agreed, Paula. I hope you're right, that they find and prosecute every single person who knows what happened to that little boy and who's kept it quiet. It's just so horrendous.
It's so disgusting.
Do that to his family.
God. Well, a multitude of her TikToks were filmed with her in her house in front of a missing poster for him. They had missing posters hanging in their home. They had pictures of him when he went missing on their social media accounts. And they knew the whole time what happened to him. Like, what kind of weird trophy is that? Or, you know, reflex? I don't know. I just awful. Yep. I hope they certainly do. And I hope they find him. I hope they find him. I'm getting very nervous about that with the amount of time it's taken, to be honest. But
yeah,
I hope they find him and find him soon for the sake of his poor family, who are right down the road from this shit show playing out. They've been instructed by the police to not go down there. The police have it.
So
her name is Sarah. In court yesterday, she said her name was Stacy briefly, and then she, or not yesterday, on Tuesday, or Monday. Yeah, she said her name was Stacy, and then she said it was Sarah. Her husband's name is Stacy.
Yeah.
So it's Stacy and Sarah Wondra are their names.
Yeah.
Yep. So we have one more case update. This is out of the Kansas City Police Department. Christy, I'm going to let you take it from here.
Well, let's talk about this bag of rancid mayonnaise, Roger Golubsky.
Mm-hmm. Even the name.
Roger Golubsky is a former police detective in Kansas, and he and a group of law enforcement have been accused of targeting young Black girls and forcing them into sexual slavery. This was in the late 80s, early 90s, and that they had a house, a working house, where they would force them to work out of.
Yep.
And that there were three other men, Cecil Brooks, Lamarck Roberson, and Richard Robinson, have all been indicted in this case. It's a three-count indictment charging them with conspiring to hold young women in involuntary sexual servitude, as well as substantive counts of the same charge. So, you know, multiple counts of the same charge. So gross. So this was like between 96 and 98. There was a location, like an apartment, that somebody was paying for that they were using to hold these girls.
Yeah.
They used physical beatings, sexual assault, and threats to compel them to provide sexual services to men.
Mm-hmm.
It's so gross. These girls were as young as 13.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they used their status as police officers to keep the police away from this apartment. If it was ever looked like they were going to start looking into it, then they would use their connections to keep people from doing that, paying off law enforcement to leave this apartment alone.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
Mm-hmm.
If these men are convicted, their maximum sentences are life.
They very well should be. So yeah. Roger Golubsky, we actually did a story on him on Patreon back in April. He actually has previous charges associated with the same kind of behavior specific to one victim.
Yeah.
And now we have all of this coming downhill. And by God, it should.
Buddies.
Yeah.
So they're horrible people. We'll keep an eye on that. We hope they go away forever, because that's the least that they deserve.
Yep. The very least. And cops don't do great in prison.
No, they don't.
And these guys definitely shouldn't. So, yep. Well, there you have it. That's a lot. My gosh.
Right.
We're going to be back in about 15 minutes for the cold read party.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back at 8:15 for the cold read party. So if you're a subscriber, come to the cold read party. We have a case to present to you, and then we will let you present some cases to us and cold read those. So yes, that's what's coming. Yeah. And of course, we'll keep on keeping on. You guys too. Yes, you guys stay safe and warm also. It's definitely cooling down. Whew.
It is. It's in the single digits at night here right now, and that sucks.
Winter has wintered.
Yes, it has.
That doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Winter's not coming. Winter has come. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Winter has attacked. Yes. Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, guys, take care. Thanks so much for being here. This has been yet another production of the True Crime Squad.
Everybody.